This is the Weekly Scramble, a place where we chat about life over a cold one or two. It's time to belly up to the pod with Mike Fratelloni and your host, Chris Reavers.
Yes, sir. It's time for the Weekly Scramble. My name is Chris Reavers. By my side, his name is Mike Fratelloni with Fratelloni's Hardware and Garden Stores. Hello, Michael.
How you doing, Reavers?
I'm good. We've got a bunch of things that I do want to discuss, including a couple of emailers that we might as well start with that were reacting to a conversation that you and I had last week. And the first one comes to us from Lee, talking about vacation travels and the frat pack.
Nice.
I'm on vacation. Reavers, if you're going, because I was talking about the road trip.
Sure.
If you're going on I-70 by Topeka, Kansas, consider checking out Truckhenge, the Lessman Farm and Truckhenge. It's in Topeka, Kansas. Bring some spray cans of paint. If you go there, you and Fratelloni are hilarious, but I think most GLers are not on Facebook. But if I would probably join the frat pack, I'd still like to have a beer with you and Mike at some point. I had to look up Truckhenge.
Looking at it right now.
Is it up my alley?
I mean, it's a lot of trucks just placed in weird positions, kind of like Stonehenge,
yes,
but trucks.
With trucks, and that's exactly what I was thinking.
You know, don't go too far out of your way.
Okay.
Right? I mean, like you know, if you're driving right down the road and you had to stop, you could maybe do it.
But Mike, that's the beauty of the road trip.
You get to,
hey, let's hang out here for a minute.
Yeah, I mean, your kids are never going to see anything like this without going here.
Right.
Right? This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, okay, well, that's cool. Yeah, I mean...
Go ahead, what were we going to say?
Ron Lessman's, that's the guy who runs it, and he looks like an affable, he looks like a frat pack member, long beard, bandana on,
cool.
Maybe has a motorcycle, has a t-shirt with the F-word on it. I mean, pretty much cool,
but,
right?
Well, and that's the thing, because I'm sure the people that live in that area probably despise the place.
Oh, yeah.
But it's for the people, the dopes like me, that are making a cross-country road trip, that we got to stop there. It's the same thing when my wife was, she went to high school in Wall, South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Every person that lives in that area absolutely hates Sturgis.
Oh, really?
Because it's, you know, it's that part of the year where there's 10 million people that converge on your town. Yeah. And, you know, in Wall, South Dakota, they get a lot of, because they're right on the freeway.
Yep.
So they get a lot of people that just happen to be stopping by or staying at the hotels or whatever, and they take over the town.
How did she ever leave Wall, South Dakota? Because, I mean, you have Wall Drug. You could just
she
go there.
That's there.
Did she really?
She sold black gold at Wall Drug.
Really? I don't even know what black gold is, but...
I think it's called black gold, isn't it?
And what is it?
Well, it's just fake jewelry.
Oh.
Essentially.
Yeah. Okay, good, yeah.
Well, no, now I got to look it up.
I don't know what black gold is.
I
thought black gold was oil.
All drug. I'm almost positive that's what... No, she's going to say, you idiot, that's not what I did for a Black Hills Gold. That's what it's
called.
Black Hills
Gold. Black Hills
Gold.
Okay, that makes way more sense.
Yeah.
Because black gold is oil.
Yeah.
Right.
Now I'm looking at, I don't know why she would have wanted to leave there.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so this truck spot, cool, right? It's cool. And the nice thing about it, when you leave, you're like, that was so cool. I'm so glad I don't live near that.
Right.
Right.
We're in and we're out in 22 minutes.
Yep. Whatever. And it's 1,000 miles away and great.
Yes. Right. So I have to do a little bit of a callback because we recorded the show last week. And that evening, my son had a play. A third grade play.
Rent, right?
And,
wasn't it Rent?
Well, it's funny. I had no idea. I knew he had a role in the play.
Okay.
My youngest, my two sons are very similar and very different in some ways. Where my little guy, he's very outgoing. And he's a lot like me where he never met a microphone he didn't like.
Okay.
But he's the kid that doesn't mind like... If there's a speaking part in class, he doesn't mind raising his hand.
Sure, sure.
So they had a performance called Let's Eat.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you're familiar with the play.
I have not
seen
that one.
It's about different kinds of foods, and it was third and fourth grade.
Okay.
And of course, when we got there, he's, you know, all the kids are dressed up to a certain, you know, in character. So of course, there was a role that required someone to be the singing banana. And of course, who raised their hand? My 9-year-old.
Nice.
And I'm going to tell you, you know, sometimes your kids kind of shock you and surprise you in certain ways.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm not saying this because he's my son.
Sure.
He was freaking amazing.
Really?
I've never heard him sing like that before.
And he can do it. He could sing?
It was, I looked around and said, I looked at Jess and said, Where did this come from?
Who's that kid's dad?
No, I'm not joking. He was amazing.
Really?
To the point where other parents came up and said, I never knew Leland could sing. I said, I didn't either. I had no clue.
Did you record it? Did you have?
She did. Okay. Because, you know, she can't sit and watch the show. She's got to document every last second of it.
It didn't even happen if she didn't record it.
But it was really cool. And one of those holy crap moments, you know.
Do you remember any of his lines from his banana song?
Yes, because the song had to do, because all the different, what would you call it, singing parts of the whole thing were about various foods.
Okay.
And so he's wearing the banana costume and His part was singing about how he was desperately in love with a banana split.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was very
I thought funny. It was going to be like, all the things you can do with pineapples and all the things that you can do with bananas. No. And you're like, wait, time out. No, we're not singing that.
No, we're not doing that.
How I destroy a fourth grader's play with just pervidity?
It was neat. But that's the part I wanted to bring up. Not really bragging about my kid where... The part I wanted to bring up was, and I'm not, this isn't me being critical, because my wife, who was sitting next to me, was just as guilty. Mm-hmm. But when did we, as a society, and I get it, we're in the social media age of life, and I get that, like, there was one person I know that was recording it so that grandma on the East Coast could watch it.
Yeah.
But when did we get to a point where we couldn't just enjoy what we were at, but we had to have everything recorded and documented.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And Nichols, that's not just with plays. It's sporting events. It's everything. I like to take a photo here and there. You know, it's kind of, but I don't need to record every single second of it.
I'm 53. I was the third born. And when I tell you there's not 25 pictures of me from 1 to 21. I mean, I'm sure I had school pictures. I have no idea where they are.
Sure.
I have a handful of photos that I had, you know, where someone had a camera out. We just weren't the type of people to do that. I guarantee you, my children take more pictures in 1 hour than I did from 1971 to 1989.
You were the, oh yeah, he still lives with us.
Yeah,
kid.
I don't even recall being besides the school pictures, right?
Yep.
Get rid of those. I don't recall being the main thing in a picture ever until my senior class photos where they said, oh, okay, sit down and
that's interesting.
And do this. Yeah. And
Would you like to lie down on this couch?
No, I mean, I don't care. Right. I don't care. In fact, for a very long time, I was dating this one person, right? My wife loves when I tell these stories, and her dad came up from a different country and wanted to meet me. And he said, hey, can we take a picture together? And I refused to take a picture because I hated pictures so badly. And I turned to her and I said,
really?
I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that I did that. I have no idea. But I was like, let's not take a picture because I was like not feeling good. And I was like, you don't want a picture of me. I didn't want to tell him that this was not an important thing is what I wanted to say to him. Like, it ain't going to matter. You won't want to keep this one
you know,
in 2 weeks.
It's funny that that's where I was going to go I was going to say, you know, not that I want to pry, but we share stuff on this show. How long did the relationship last after that?
It was really not even that much of a relationship to begin with. The person was very nice, nice person.
Yeah.
But I'm just a fool, right?
Sure.
And I just didn't care. And I was like, you don't want a picture.
I promise you
don't want to carry this all the way back to Uruguay or wherever the hell you're from. You don't want to. I don't even know where he is from. I don't know. Probably not Uruguay from what I can tell.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That is very funny.
Yeah, it was not. You know how you do certain things that you just feel like an a-hole afterwards. That was one.
Sure.
I said I could have just stood up, put on my smile that I don't have because I don't have a smile.
You
just
know,
done
you
it.
Probably were under the assumption that you're going to break this poor girl's heart, and he was going to come find you based upon that.
No,
photo.
Let me make this real clear.
I
was not going to break her heart. She was going to come to her senses at some point in time and say,
"Okay,
what is this? What am I doing?
Okay,
like, I could fall off of a streetcar and knock into someone better. A streetcar going down West 7th.
Right, exactly." Yeah. Those are coming, aren't they?
Yeah, I hope so for a couple billion dollars.
I was reading, oddly enough, you said that, I was reading a piece on, I think it was Axios Twin Cities, and how the property taxes in both St. Paul and Minneapolis are going to be going up based solely because all of the values of buildings, more so in Minneapolis than in St. Paul, have gone down to such a degree that, well, they still have a budget to meet.
They have to make
it. And I'm thinking, we told all of you idiots that this was going to happen. He said, nope, we're going to forge ahead. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I went
you know,
on a taxes
yeah, when
rant.
A when a $100 million building becomes a $50 million building in downtown, their taxes have to go down.
I was stunned. So, again, I didn't think I was going to go down this road, but I was stunned when I read that both the IDS, and is it LaSalle Plaza? Mm-hmm. Both basically sold for a third of what they did within the last 10 years. Yeah. That's stunning to me.
Two beautiful buildings, too.
That's stunning.
Yeah, the IDS is still a really pretty building.
That's where we had our wedding reception.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At the windows.
Really? Very cool. I did not know that.
Yeah,
wow.
That building has always just had a special place in my heart for
obvious
reasons.
The Crystal Court had like Banana Republic and a bunch of stores, and there was that, not Martin Patrick, but a really high-end men's store down there, and then now it's just like nothing.
I'll never forget. It was my wedding day, and you know, because your room is in the hotel part,
okay,
and then you know you're parked in the ramp below,
sure,
and then so there was a couple of times where I had to run from the very top to go get something, and then come back, and I'll never forget. I'm in my tux, mm-hmm. and that was a Banana Republic, right?
Yeah,
that on that main floor,
yep.
And the girls that were working there said, "Oh, are you getting married today?" And I said, "Yeah, you know," and they said, "Well, come on in," and they took my photo. Like inside that Banana Republic.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, because I was looking good,
sure.
by the way. But it was just kind of neat. And then I'll share another quick story about that day. So that same Crystal Court, it was late in the day, and I was stone sober. I had one beer the entire day of my mm-hmm. wedding because I spent enough money on it. I wanted to say, I'm going to remember every single part of this. And so my two brothers, who did the opposite of
sure.
that, were all wearing the same tux, right? And so Jess and I are exhausted, right? It's the end of the day, and I want to go back to the room, if you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so we're taking the elevator down, and I've got this giant cart full of stuff, you know, gifts sure. and whatever that we're taking back to the room. And there was a security guy that came down with us just to make sure that we, you know, we were going to get to our room, okay? And he was awesome. I gave him a tip and everything. So we get down to the main level, and my two brothers are outside smoking. My oldest brother was there with my youngest brother, who at the time was dating a girl. And so all three of them were outside, and they were causing a ruckus because they're drunk AF.
Okay.
It's, you know, midnight or sure. whatever it is, 1 o'clock in the morning. And the guy, security guys, kind of looks at the group and kind of puzzled and looks at me, noticing that we're all wearing the same tuxedo.
Tux,
and he goes, "Oh, do you know those guys?" And I looked and I went, "Never seen him before in my life," and kept walking.
See you later. Like, I'm not responsible for them. Go arrest them if you'd like.
But yeah, that's, I guess, maybe why I had the reaction I did, is it's just such a beautiful space.
It is.
You know, and I guess it's just another indication of, damn, that bums me out.
Yeah.
A little bit,
like,
right?
Why can't we have nice things?
Yeah.
Right? Let's just have some nice things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of nice things.
Yeah. Oh, good.
There is an account, and I brought this up specifically for you, sir. There's an account that I follow because it's weird to think that it was around this time 4 years ago when all hell broke loose mm-hmm. in terms of the pandemic. And, you know, everybody was affected by it in one way or another. And it's an account that basically shows how insane we were 4 years ago.
Sure.
Not as in we were taking precautions to prevent people from getting sick. That's not what I'm referring to, because there was so much unknown.
Sure, we really didn't know. We can't go back and look at it. We had no idea.
But some of the times I do recall saying, well, why the hell are we doing that? That mm-hmm. doesn't make it much sense.
No.
And I'll never forget this. And this is not me ripping on any large retailer. But I remember asking my wife, well, let me ask, here's what I don't understand. Why can the four of us, meaning me and my wife and my two kids, why can we go to Target and shop for an hour, mm-hmm. but my kids can't go outside and play baseball?
Yes. Yeah.
I don't, mm-hmm. like, there was
just crazy.
too many missing pieces of logic for my liking.
People on the beach by themselves in California, if they didn't have a mask on, the police came and arrested them.
Exactly. Like, where I'm going. Yeah. So one of them was a photo of a park in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to that park. I knew exactly which one it was. And they filled the skating, you know, like, it looks like filled it with sand, and then they put the emergency tape around all of the playground equipment so that kids wouldn't interact with each other. I'm thinking, what the hell sense did that make?
Yeah.
And there's so many examples of that.
Well, we just, to be fair, we didn't know this time 4 years ago. Didn't know. A handful of months later, we kind of got, oh, kids aren't dying of this. Why don't we kind of let them ease back into society, right?
And then we tried it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I remember roughly this time 4 years ago, we were still doing the beer show on ESPN 1500,
right? Yep.
And we finished a show and he turned to me and you said, I have some friends that are at the airport and they said that they're going to stop flying, you know, like planes are going to stop. And I said, Reavers, there's not a chance that's ever going to happen. And I was 100% certain. In fact, I even made a joke about, then we called it the coronavirus, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And I made a joke about, you know, some coronavirus thing, you know, I don't know, because it was going to kill off Corona beer, right?
Right.
And little did I know, like 2 weeks later, we had to shut down our show,
yep,
right? And the world changed, you know, for 2 years straight,
and
right?
It was St. Patrick's Day weekend, and I was still bartending downtown. In fact, it got to that point where I was starting to think, is this really worth it anymore? And that was just strictly because of crime. And then, you know, I have asthma. And mm-hmm, so my wife was really concerned about me catching the virus, sure, because, again, she works in healthcare, and we just didn't know. And I was a little worried about, you mm-hmm know, what's going to happen to me, even though I'm a somewhat fit guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I remember being at the club Saturday night of St. Patrick's Day weekend in 2020 going, I don't really think I should be in this room with
this, you know, many people,
250 yeah people that I don't know, that, you know, I'm probably going to catch it, you know, being in here. And then that next week, that's when Minnesota just said, all the bars are closed, that's we're shutting it down the restaurants. Mm-hmm. And so I remember that vividly.
I mean, think of that.
It was 4 years ago, man.
We shut down every single bar, every restaurant.
Yeah.
Could you imagine being a bar owner? You're already struggling to make it, many yeah bar owners. And all of a sudden they said, you're closed. And then I'm a forgiving person, right? I didn't know what was going on then, right? I had no knowledge of what was going on. So I said, okay, maybe this is the right thing to do. I don't know. But as soon as the data points started to say that it wasn't the right thing to do, why did we keep pushing it and pushing it and pushing it longer and longer? I conceptually get the fact that we didn't want hospitals overrun. I didn't sure want people in a parking lot laying in a bed and we're just saying, oh, these people are dying. And, you know, when on the Garage Logic podcast, we make fun of Governor Walz buying that, the freezer.
Produce
yeah, the produce yep building. But he didn't know. He didn't know if we were going to have 100,000 people dead in Minnesota in 2 months. Right? He didn't know. And as a government official, you have to do that stuff. But when you start seeing that it's a very specific group that are dying usually, right? Mm-hmm. It's kind of an anomaly that younger people were dying. Children were not dying at all, right? You have to kind of say, okay, wait, we got to start segmenting out society. If you're sick and old, don't go around
and
people.
And it's been widely reported, and I've read so many stories on it, because that was when my son started kindergarten. That mm-hmm was his first year yeah of school was yeah the COVID year. And, you know, he grew up in a home where he was supported and we were, you know, on top of schoolwork. But there's a lot of kids that don't have that environment.
Have it.
Yeah. And that ruined a lot of kids just from a mentality standpoint and trying to have them be in a structured environment. A lot of kids didn't survive
yep
that. Yep. Meaning they'll be fine.
But they're going to be so far behind.
But they're behind. And we're seeing that now with, you know, all these different studies about kids in the Minneapolis and St. Paul school district that can't read at grade level.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
Or can't read.
Or can't right read,
yeah,
period.
I mean, it's just not even read at grade level. Yeah, it's sad. And I think one of the hardest effects was everyone was wearing a mask. In fact, one of my team members, right, that a guy that's a real good guy, he's worked for me for a fairly long time through COVID. And he still continually wore a mask up until recently, right? And yeah, he's in retail. And, you know, but he's a healthy, younger kind of guy. And I saw his face and it was kind of like me meeting him for the first time.
Yeah.
Because he took his mask off and I was like, oh, hey, man. Wow, how you doing? Like, it was the first time I had actually paid more attention to him, right? Yeah. Does that make sense?
You know,
like, he
Hunter,
was always a good guy.
I
knew his name
about
and I talked to him and we bonded a little bit. But until I got to see his face and he has a nice smile and he's a kind of a sharp looking guy, I thought, How did I not really even know you?
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of people today, it's funny because I was in one of the stores yesterday. And I said, boy, it seems like a lot of people are wearing masks lately.
I've noticed that too.
Yeah. And yeah, my team said they're afraid of the RSV virus going around. It's not necessarily COVID, but they're afraid of catching other things now. And it's usually older people,
sure,
right? And I kind of get that. If you're uncomfortable and don't want to get sick or you went through the last couple of years and didn't get sick, you might say, oh, it's probably because of that mask.
But right? Not that I wanted to turn this into a COVID show, but isn't it? I mean, I've always been of the belief that even within the first year, like let's just say the calendar year of 2020, mm-hmm, all right, I don't think it was even remotely possible that every single one of us did not have some form of that virus at some point.
Yeah,
it would have been, I can't imagine how impossible that would have been for you not to have contracted that in some way.
I think when they came out with the Omicron virus, and this was late in probably 21, and they said 100% of the world's going to have this. And the moment they said that, I was like, I'm done. I'm never wearing a mask again. Like, if everybody's getting it,
yeah.
If it takes me, it takes me. I hope to God it doesn't. But, you know, you didn't know,
but
right?
You can't,
you didn't
know. Also, you just can't live in a world where you're constantly in fear all
yeah,
the time.
I can.
You can't do that. It's just, it's not healthy. And I think that was part of what was a little damaging to some kids. Because I remember having that conversation with both of my sons who were, let's see, 8 and 5 at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, they were scared. And I said, "It's you guys, we're all going to be okay."
Sure.
You know, but it's, you know, I get it. Kids going to be alarmed by that because it's been beaten into them that they need to be terrified of this. Which...
Well, it was so scary because obviously the whole virus came from people eating bats. And you're like, well, wait. I'm just sorry. That was just, that
you
was,
had to...
I had to throw that. Actually, I have no idea. I don't know what happened, but I don't fault officials. I really don't, because you just didn't know. I was making those decisions corporately for our team.
Oh, I suppose, yeah.
And, you know, I remember very early in the pandemic, and I'll tell the story real briefly.
No, go ahead.
That someone that worked at a Walmart, a cashier at a Walmart, died of COVID.
Oh, no.
And it was, like, really early. And I thought, uh-oh, is that going to happen at Fratelloni's? Like, our... Because we have a lot of seniors that work for us, right?
Sure.
A lot of people who retire but don't want to die, so they want to work, right? You know, they don't want to go sit on their ass for the next... 4 years till they die. They want to work, and they're the bread and butter of our team, right? It's really, really important that we have these people. And I thought, uh-oh, what's going to happen if this has a kill rate of 50% of seniors?
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking about business. I was thinking these poor people that I'm asking to work, right? Because we were all essential at that point.
Yep.
And it was really, really frightening. So if I had those feelings, I don't mind that Governor Walz would have those feelings too. But at some point in time, you had to say, okay, wait. Why? Actually, you know what happened to me is I went down to Florida and I looked around and I said, what the hell's going on here? And they said, what do you mean? And they said,
it was a myth.
I was like, uh-oh. If Florida is wide open, I mean, wide open. We went to a restaurant and they said, oh yeah, we're doing space seating. I'm like, space seating? I can literally touch the person next to me, right? And I wasn't saying I wasn't going to go there.
Right.
I just couldn't believe, like, oh, if you've been doing this the entire pandemic and we're shut down, we've made a mistake, right? Minnesota made a mistake because Florida is not half dead at this point. You know, their death rate was roughly the same as everyone else's. And I thought, oh, okay, we've now, and our government should have known that by that point, right?
Well, and I would think that I don't envision, you know, a scenario like that again until, I don't know, about late August, early October of a presidential election
year. You don't think
I'm kidding.
Yeah, you don't think they'll pull back on that and say there's a new variant, right?
I think people at this point are going to say, we ain't doing that again.
Yeah, been there, done that.
Well, and it's not that they're not trying to be healthy or trying to be safe. It's like, come on. We've moved on.
It definitely showed a portion of the population too, Reavers, that liked it. They liked being at home.
They also liked, there was a section of people that did love to shame.
Oh, to shame, yeah.
Oh, and I would run into that constantly because, you know, sometimes you're running into the bank or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, crap, I forgot my, it's not that I was deliberately trying to disobey orders. It's like, oh, crap, I forgot to grab my, and I would always have one in my vest pocket, but I forgot to bring with it. It's, oh, you need to, I said, first of all, lady, you're not in charge of me.
Sure.
Fellow banker. Anyway.
Yeah, it's, well, thank God that's over with.
Oh, no
right?
doubt.
Or whatever it is. Let's move on from that. We can put that COVID behind us. Should we call COVID done? It's been 4 years almost to the day.
Well,
Minnesota.
You declared winter was over about 3 months ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're the official closer of said topics.
Yeah, I think I made a mistake on that winter, right?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, yeah. No doubt. Okay. So I need the answer from you because Joe wanted me to ask you this question because you're really good with numbers.
Oh, good.
The mayor is not.
Okay. Podcast, radio math, we're going to call this. Okay?
Right.
It's always tough.
So I think you know where I'm going because you're a daily Garage Logic listener. Hold on here. Here we go. You already know this one because we've done this. The bat and the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Dollar
yeah.
I'm
not doing that one, yeah.
But the $100 bill one.
Okay.
Did you hear this one on the show?
No, I didn't.
So, and you're in retail.
Yes.
So you'll know. I think
I'm
you'll
not going to get it right.
You'll have
ahead.
The right answer.
Okay.
Guy walks into a store.
Yes.
Steals $100 out of the till.
Yes.
Okay. He then uses that $100 to buy $70 worth of goods and gets $30 in change.
Sure.
How much money did the store lose?
So he used, so they got the $100 back. Yep. The $100, he stole the $100, so they lost $100, but he gave them back.
To buy $70 worth of
goods. So we got $70 worth of goods and $30 worth of change.
Correct.
So the store lost $100.
Thank you.
Okay, is that, am I right?
Well, because that's what I answered, okay. And Joe says, no, it's $200. I said, no.
Yeah, because he gave the
$100
back.
Went back into the till. Yeah. Okay, that's what I wanted
that,
to hear.
Is that the right answer?
That is. I believe that's the right answer, but of course, when I mentioned it on the show, people went berserko because Joe was trying to do math once again.
Yeah, so sometimes I feel like I'm bright, and I'll always come up with a quick wrong first answer. So never do that to me again on the show.
Yeah, like, but you're really good with numbers.
I'm okay with numbers. I'm really good at fat math. Can I say fat math? Morbidly obese math.
I've never heard that term before.
You've not heard that where like, 37% of 64 million and you kind of just like come up with a number, right? And you're just like, oh, it's got to be something like 30 million, right? You know, you kind of like, you know where it is approximately.
Yeah.
And some people have no concept of that,
no,
right?
No.
So, and I'm probably not right with my, I have to be pretty darn close.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah, but I'm a big fan of fat math. Just understanding the principles of what you're talking about.
I've never heard it called that before.
Really?
Fat math.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you don't have to be right down, rounded down to the lowest number. You're in the realm.
That's why I wasted all that money getting that stupid accounting degree.
That is kind of funny that you have an accounting degree and you don't do anything with accounting.
Well,
whatsoever.
I did for a small stint in between my two radio careers.
Okay.
I did use it to a certain degree. But then I thought, this real world stuff sucks.
You don't even do your own taxes. You send them out to Keller.
Yeah, Linda Keller's my gal.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
And you could do them.
She's even said, she said, you know,
you could do
Linda
these.
And I have a lot of interesting conversations.
Okay. She's great, by the way.
And that's one of them. Oh, she's amazing. Yeah. She's flat out amazing. Yeah. Darn it, I lost the other story that I was going to get to. But I don't know how to broach the next topic.
Okay.
Well, because, you know, it's that odd time of the year where everyone is, how should I phrase this?
I do not shave my chest. Okay, is that what you were wondering?
Well, okay. Yeah, actually, that's not that far off from where I'm going.
All right.
But we're starting to see the photos surfacing, including the frat packers that are checking in from various places, which is super, super cool.
Yeah.
But I need to know, because obviously this is a social media generated phenomenon where we've got to post, you know, look at me at the at the beautiful spa that we're at with my family. So it's like, I get it. You're trying to let everybody know that you're at this beautiful locale and you're having fun, which is fine.
Which is great, yeah.
But what I find somewhat, and I don't know what the correct term would be for it, self-absorbed a bit, but it's when it's the litany of, and that's why I cannot stand Instagram.
Really?
I hate everything about Instagram because Instagram, I think, is so much more damaging than Facebook and Twitter for sure. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, Twitter is more damaging than Instagram, and Instagram is more damaging than Facebook.
Before you continue, my case in point, have you seen the video of the influencer dancing on top of the Lamborghini?
Yeah, those are all made up, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the point is, that's totally believable.
Sure, sure.
Where she busts the windshield of the Lamborghini, and I'm thinking, and she did this for likes. Okay,
yes.
That one might be a little staged, and my senses are always up
everything
on things
staged.
Like that.
Nothing's real anymore.
But I've seen, Mike, I was at a beach, 2 months ago, in which this girl... So Jess and I are sitting there, nice cocktail, beautiful sunset. This girl made her boyfriend follow her with the camera. I watched them for 30 minutes going, oh my God, if that was you, I would leave you in a second. But that's all she cared about was trying to find that right photo and that right video with the hair for Instagram likes.
There's something incredibly narcissistic about it.
That's the word I'm looking for.
And I totally agree with you, but I'm going to tell you, if my woman said, hey, follow me around with a camera, and then posted it and made $9,000 from the post, I'd be like, yeah, go ahead.
But
where are we doing this? I'm going to follow you around in a heartbeat.
Okay, yeah. Fine. But the vast majority of them are not generating any income whatsoever. Yeah. But that's what they think they're going to be doing long term.
Yeah, they take pictures of their food. That's another real neat one where they have, I was at a restaurant and people had, you know what a camera ring is?
No.
Like it's that, the light ring.
Oh,
yeah. So you put your camera through it and it's, and they had all their light rings on, standing up on the booth, taking pictures of their food. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, who cares? Who cares about, I mean, if the restaurant said, hey, we're going to give you this food, but you have to make a post for it, I kind of get that. And I think the value to a restaurant is pretty good for
if
that.
If you're a food critic, if you're a food paid, critic,
yeah, I think it's a smart thing. But these look like just people out for the night. I'm like, you bring your own ring light to a restaurant? And this wasn't the Cat's Meow restaurant. This was just something. Okay, wait, Cat's Meow. Okay. Ooh. I want to make sure that when I use one of those old-fashioned idioms, that the Cat's Meow is not a horrible, racist, anti-Jewish thing. You know, who knows what it is?
Right.
Cat's Meow. Now I have to look up what Cat's Meow means.
Oh, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because on last week's show, we brought up the fact that a basketball commentator was suspended for using cotton pick in mind when describing a player, and we did get an email. It was, I believe his name was Edward. He said, you're right, Reeves, that story was from a few years ago with Russell Westbrook. That didn't happen recently. So I just wanted to make
sure.
It came up, right?
Maybe I was digging so deep through my feed that I got all the way back to 2018, but I did look up a Cat's Meow, and it's an American phrase that means something or someone who is very appealing or outstanding.
Oh.
So it has nothing to do with racism. So I guess my new term that I can use now is, Reavers, you're the Cat's Meow.
Well, thank you, Michael. I appreciate that.
So I just have to be very, very careful on all of those things from now on.
All right. And then finally, what I'd like to discuss is the Biden crime family.
Okay, good.
No, I'm kidding. I'm absolutely totally joking.
Nothing screams like the end of a show
like that. You know, we were going to bring up last week about Trump and the bloodbath comments. Of course, all of them were taken completely out of context. And I don't even care about any of that because I'm so jaded that I think every single agency, a broadcast agency, has an agenda.
Sure.
Except for the Garage Logic podcast and the Weekly Scramble and anything owned by Hubbard Broadcasting. But so I'm just jaded. Like, well, they obviously have an agenda.
Sure.
So I'm conditioned to just not really trust anybody or anything, anytime, anywhere.
I just think I'm going to use that
totally
term
healthy
all day, every day. Like, the Vikings win by 3. Oh, it was a bloodbath.
But it does go to show you, we are, you know, we're not even to April yet. And the next 7 months are just going to be really tough to deal with.
I told you I'm a stoic, right? You've heard that term, stoic.
Yes.
I talked to you about that.
Yes.
So I study stoicism. And the stoicism's, the kind of the tenet of stoicism is you can control what you can control. That's it, right? You can't control things that are out of your hands. So that, you know, November election is out of my hands. There is nothing I can do about that. I can vote, and that's what I can control on it. So when you get this mindset of the stoic that I have, like this calming mindset, you really let a lot of that stuff go because you're like, I can't do anything about it until someone drives past you at too fast and they cut you off and then you lose your mind and you chase after them and then you realize, wait, I'm a stoic. I can't control this. Let's calm down, right? So I think you're absolutely right, but I'm taking it from a totally different Zen-like position. And you're going to be so proud of me at the end. Until my guy, not saying which one, because I don't even really have one, loses, then I will lose my mind and my whole thought of stoicism is out the door.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to buy you that
book. Please do.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the Zen master.
Well,
what made you go down this path?
So I read a quote from Epictetus. He's a Stoic.
Okay.
And, you know, they're a couple thousand years old and they're really quite bright. And someone kind of ripped on that quote and someone said, well, you know, Stoics have been studied for thousands of years, right? A couple thousand years. They spent their life just kind of living this Stoic lifestyle. And I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. I'm taking advice from Larry down at the pawn shop or whatever. And I'm like, he's been around 31 years. Like, why am I listening to Larry? Let me see what maybe people older and vetted, right? A couple thousand years of people reading their quotes and reading their books, right? That those thoughts are vetted out. So I started to realize that it can be extremely helpful. So let me give you a great example.
Yes.
So my father, my brother, and I would walk into a restaurant. And my dad would walk up to the host. And if the host wouldn't immediately look at us and say, hey, greetings, he'd say, hello, hello, Can you see us? Right? He would be a little more patient than that, but not much. Okay. Right? And he would also say, we're going to sit in this table. And he'd walk right away. And my dad's a great guy. Just doesn't think of that stuff. He doesn't understand that he's walking past the host to go sit in the table. And you know, they're going to sit us there anyways. He doesn't care. He's going to go sit there. So I said to my dad, I said, Dad, let's chill out. Right? Let's chill out. You're taking everything in politics. Yeah. Read this book. And it's changed my dad.
Really?
And honest to God, he'll call me and say, did you read? So this book is called 366 Days of Stoicism. So it's one page a day, and it gives you one lesson from a Stoic, a couple thousand-year-old Stoic, and then a gentleman named Ryan who kind of puts it into layman's terms, right? So it becomes very easy. So it's a quote plus a couple more paragraphs, so anybody can get through a page a day. And my dad, at 81 years old, is finding huge benefits from this.
Wow.
Huge benefits. In fact, you had expressed to me that Joe Souchere was having kind of this existential crisis of where's America going,
yeah.
Right? And my dad was having the same thing, and Joe are, you know, roughly the same age. My dad's 10 years older than Joe or whatever, but they're roughly in that same age group. And I said, I'm going to buy that for Joe, because I think that calming of, we can't control that, so why are we trying to control that, right? You can't do anything. It's like going to scream at the rain. There's nothing you can do about it,
sure,
right?
Sure.
You might as well say, I love rain,
well, not
because
we,
it's coming no matter what.
You mean if we tackle climate change, then we will be able
well,
to
that's
do something
true. I never
about
even
the rain.
Thought about that. Yeah. Or if we set off nuclear weapons into hurricanes, which is Donald Trump's idea. And I'm going to go ahead and out on a limb. Trump said some wild things that I don't necessarily agree with, but I bet you anything, if you set off a nuclear weapon inside of a hurricane, it's going to slow the hurricane down.
Probably.
Right? It's going to stop that spin.
But would it also have, you know, greater impact?
No,
in
we're
a
doing it
way?
Everywhere. We're doing it all the time over the ocean. We're testing.
Okay.
We're testing. I'm sure the fish have, you know, four testicles or whatever. We don't care. Do fish even have testicles? I don't even know. Right? But they could.
Now all I'm picturing is that one right. fish from the
on,
Simpsons.
On that note, we should just have the four testicle fish sandwich.
Right.
I'm doing that for Lent.
Extra tartar sauce,
extra
please.
Tartar sauce.
Oh my God.
Reavers, you're the best.
Please do us a favor. Rate and review the show wherever you happen to be listening to it. We would really, really appreciate it. His name is Mike Fratelloni. My name is Chris Reavers. We'll talk to you again next week. Until then, cheers.